About Pets for the next half hour. I shall be reading to you from Yahoo.com, The Washington Post, Catster.com, and Dogster Magazine. We'll begin today's program with an article from Yahoo's Pet Helpful section titled, Five Ways Humans Might Hurt a Dog's Feelings Are a Wake-Up Call for Pet Parents by Liz O'Connell. We love social media and the fact that we learn something new almost every day, from new food recipes and hairstyles to the latest news and life hacks. There is seriously something for everyone. As pet owners, we can't get enough because there are never-ending tips and tricks for us to learn. TikTok user @pup_labs, an account dedicated to sharing dog tips, recently posted about the five ways humans might hurt a dog's feelings, and it might surprise you. This was also published on Parade.com and written by Kelsey Krieger. It says, are you a dog owner? If you are the proud parent of a pup or a few, we can imagine that you love your pet and wouldn't ever want to do anything to hurt their feelings. Everybody raises their pups differently due to many factors, including lifestyle, location, personal knowledge of raising a dog, and more. That being said, you may be unintentionally doing things that hurt your dog's feelings, negatively affecting your relationship with them. Dogs experience feelings just like you and me. Happiness, anxiety, fear, and frustration. Of course, we can't control some of the factors that may upset our dogs, such as bad weather, loud fireworks, or the mailman strolling by. But similar to life, we can control one thing when raising our dogs, how we act. How are you behaving around your dog, and what are you doing that may hurt your dog's feelings? With insight from Hunter Saavedra, owner and founder of Hunter's Pet Sitting Orlando, Dr. Lindsay Butzer, DVM, will help you unveil some ways you are intentionally hurting your dog's feelings, plus how to turn it around. Do dogs get their feelings hurt? In short, yes. Dogs can get their feelings hurt. You are your dog's whole world. They love you and want to earn your praise. However, when you engage in any neglectful or shame-ridden behaviors with your dog, it has a negative impact on them. The love and praise they once felt may turn to fear, stress, and even depression. Five things that can hurt your dog's feelings. 1. Ignoring them. Question. How do you feel when you're being given the cold shoulder by a loved one? Probably not so good. Your dog feels the same way, and being ignored hurts their feelings. The most common form of emotional maltreatment is emotional neglect, which is unintentional failure to meet an animal's emotional needs, according to Franklin D. McMillan, the director of well-being studies at the Best Friends Animal Society. Keep in mind that just like humans, dogs are social beings that need love, care, and affection. If you're always leaving your dog alone, failing to spend quality time with them, or pushing them away, there's a good chance you're hurting your dog's feelings. Even if you're busy and constantly on the go, there are steps you can take to ensure your dog is still living their best life. Investing in a weekday dog walker to spend time with your pup while you tend to your busy workday is one of the best ways to ensure they live a happy, fulfilled life. Dog walkers can provide a great energy release for your dog, or if they're a more relaxed breed, they can help provide socialization to help break up your pet's day. Plus, you won't have to rush home after work, and you'll come home to a happier pup overall, Saavedra explains. Filling enrichment toys with small treats or dog-safe peanut butter is also a great way to keep your dog from feeling neglected during your busy schedule, Saavedra adds. Enrichment toys provide energy release and mental stimulation for your pup, keeping them busy during your long workday and spoiling with them some treats. Dr. Butzer agrees. I recommend using treats and toys to help make sure your dogs have a form of enrichment if you have a busy schedule. You can offer them rawhides or no-hide bones to keep them busy while you're gone. I also always recommend exercising your dog for 20 to 30 minutes in the morning before your busy schedule begins to keep your pets calm and happy. 2. Punishing fearful behavior. Fireworks, thunderstorms, vacuum cleaners. This just begins to scratch the surface of things that your dog may feel afraid of. Likewise, some dogs have very high anxiety or lack confidence, which can make them more fearful or timid. Saavedra tells Parade that dogs are known to match their owner's energy. A great way to help your dog is if they are fearful is to provide a calm, safe environment for them. Take loud, deep breaths to calm your breathing and create a sense of relaxation. You can sit down on the floor with your dog while petting them, speak softly, and most of all, be patient. Punishing your dog because you don't like their fearful behavior is not going to scare them out of it. It will likely make matters worse and hurt your dog's feelings. Punishing fear-based behaviors can also increase the risk of aggression with other long-lasting consequences. Instead, try to level with them and treat them with more compassion to provide calm in the chaos. Dr. Butzer says if your pet is very fearful, you may want to speak to your veterinarian for sedatives or anxiety medications that would help calm them down and condition them to get more comfortable in stressful situations. I like to reach for gabapentin first, which is a seizure medication that simply helps calm the brain down and therefore calm the dog down. Then I like to use trazodone. If a dog is fearful to the point of aggression, then most veterinarians are very generally careful about giving sedatives. Other ways are simply doing a lot of training and socialization and desensitization with the pet. 3. Inconsistency. Parents always joke about there being a good cop and a bad cop parent. The good cop parents let their children get away with almost anything. The bad cop parent lays down the ground rules and closely abides by them. Are you a good cop or a bad cop parent to your dog? Think about it. Dogs are constantly looking for their owners for guidance, Savendra explains. Consistency with routines can lead to dogs feeling more enriched, decrease undesirable behavior, and improve their physical and mental health. One of the best additions to your pet's routine is incorporating a daily walk. Most dogs love going on a daily walk because it provides a structured outlet for their energy release, continues Savendra. Take a husky, for example. Huskies are an energetic, intelligent breed known for causing destruction to the home when they're not given their proper energy release. By incorporating at least one walk a day, they may learn to look forward to an evening walk and be less inclined to destroy the carpets and baseboards. You may not believe it, but being the bad cop and remaining consistent with rules is the best thing you could do for your dog. For example, if you decide that you don't want your dog on the couch, it's important to stick by that. Don't let your dog hop on the couch when you want them to be and punish them when you don't. This can be quite confusing for them and hurt your dog's feelings. The same goes for having a consistent daily feeding time as well as other behaviors like jumping or begging. As for building training guidelines with your best bud, stick to short and repetitive commands. Giving a short command such as sit, gentle, or leave it will help instill good behaviors in your dog because shorter commands are more easily comprehended and associated with your preferred action, Savedra tells Parade. It's important to be consistent with your commands so that your dog knows what to expect. A consistent routine paired with basic training equals a happy pup and a happy owner. 4. Using the crate as punishment. Never use your dog's crate as a method of punishment. When you start using the crate as punishment, your dog begins to view going into the crate as a negative thing. Then every time you put them in the crate, despite the reason, their feelings get hurt. Imagine that you're heading out for an evening out, and Fido gets visibly upset because you're putting him in the crate and he thinks he's done something wrong. According to Stephanie Gabolt, MSc CPDT, a certified professional dog trainer with a Master of Science in Animal Behavior, it says it's important to create as many positive associations with the crate as possible. Think about making the crate comfortable for them by adding toys, treats, and bedding to it. You can even play games like fetch, where you throw the ball into the crate or serve their meals in the crate. 5. Rubbing their noses in it. This one really applies to any parent that is currently potty training a dog. If your dog has a potty accident in the house, do not rub their nose in the accident, so to speak, as a form of scolding or punishment. Your dog is learning, and this type of scolding will teach your dog to fear you rather than trust you. It will also communicate to your dog that they should hide rather than make it known when they have to go, and the accidents will continue. Think about it. How would you feel if somebody got mad at you because you had an accident after holding it for several hours? You'd probably feel pretty upset, too. Rubbing your dog's nose in any type of accident will hurt their feelings. How to keep your dog happy. The good news is that there are plenty of ways you can keep your dog happy and satisfied. Here are a few important things you can do to ensure you're being the best pet parent to your pup. Provide them with enough playtime and exercise. Learn about your dog breed's common behaviors and why they may act the way they do. Even once they've learned the basics, never stop training them. Provide them with engaging toys and puzzle games to keep them indoors too. Don't forget to praise your pup for good behavior. And be a disciplined pet parent by maintaining a consistent routine and rule system. Next, we'll move on to an article from the Washington Post in the Brain Matters section titled, Cats and Dogs Get Dementia. Here's How to Spot Signs and Support Pets by Marlene Simmons. Look for changes in your pet's behavior over time and make sure they are not caused by other treatable medical conditions. Sullivan, also known as Sully, a Boston Terrier, began behaving oddly at age 9. He would poop inside the house, circle the kitchen island, and bark at nothing. At first, his human Bridget Allen thought these acts were a part of normal aging. One day, though, Sully didn't return home from a nearby wooded area he knew well. Allen's son found him wandering by a stream, filthy and acting confused. A short time later, he fell off the bed while sleeping and urinated on the floor. Something wasn't right, recalled Allen, a retired high school teacher from Caledonia, Michigan, about Sully's behavior in 2012. Her veterinarian said it sounded like, quote-unquote, classic dementia. I felt like I had been kicked in the gut, Allen said. I had no idea that dogs could develop dementia. They can, and so can cats. We all know that Alzheimer's disease and other dementias are among the most common conditions humans can encounter as they age, says Stephanie McGrath, Associate Professor of Neurology at Colorado State University College of Veterinary Medicine and Biomedical Sciences. What people don't realize is that our pets, dogs and cats, can get it too, and it's probably also very common. Experts aren't sure how many companion animals suffer from dementia. Estimates range from 14 to 35% of the pet dog population age 8 and older, according to one study. Another study suggests nearly one-third of cats ages 11 to 14, and 50% of cats 15 and older are affected. Many experts believe these numbers are probably conservative. This is highly, highly underreported, says Gary Landsberg, a Canadian veterinary behaviorist and veterinary scientific director of CANCOG, an animal health research organization. Owners need to realize that signs might be mild or subtle, so they might not have any concerns about them. Signs of cognitive decline in pets. For pet parents trying to determine whether their cat or dog has dementia, knowing their pet's normal behavior is important, says Margaret Gruen, Associate Professor of Behavioral Medicine at North Carolina State University's College of Veterinary Medicine. You're really looking for a change over time. Some signs are confusion and disorientation, forgetting things pets have learned, such as house training or using the litter box, changes in their sleep cycle. Among cats, an increase in vocalization, meaning more crying or howling, an obvious and frequently reported sign. With cats, there is excessive vocalization and disorientation and changes in interaction with humans or other animals, such as hissing and swatting, said Star Cameron, clinical associate professor in small animal neurology, the University of Wisconsin at Madison School of Veterinary Medicine, which studies cat dementia. Some cats are all up all night and vocalizing. They go outside the litter box or can't find it. Medical conditions that mimic dementia in pets. Informing a vet early about any changes in a pet's behaviors is important because the pet may have a medical condition different from a cognitive disorder that could be treated. Many conditions, such as arthritic pain, cancer, hearing or vision loss, hypertension, and chronic kidney disease, can prompt symptoms that mimic dementia in pets and must be ruled out before diagnosing a cognitive disorder, experts said. My 18-year-old kitty, Momo, has always been a vocal kitty, Cameron said. But when she was 15 or 16, I noticed she was vocalizing more. Cameron suspected Momo had dementia. Momo became grumpier with other cat and the dog. She was moody, Cameron said. Blood work, however, revealed hyperthyroidism, or an overactive thyroid. Momo was treated, and now she's back to Momo, Cameron said. An animal can also have physical ailments and dementia concurrently, just as an elderly person with dementia can have other age-related medical problems. Studying pet dementia. Scientists are studying pet dementia to help companion animals and their humans cope and to better understand human brain diseases such as Alzheimer's. Dogs are good natural models. They can develop deficits similar to humans, says Evan McLean, director of Arizona Canine Cognition Center at the University of Arizona. Also, they can be studied more easily because they have shorter lifespans than humans and can show subtle signs as early as age 7. These insights can help in learning more about the disease in humans. Researchers are analyzing post-death brain tissues from pets, including one study that compares samples from dogs who had dementia with those who do not, to better understand how the dog brain ages, says McGrath, who is conducting the study. We are also trying to understand when dogs who are healthy agers become dogs afflicted by dementia. Scientists are also studying blood and spinal fluid samples to learn if animals and humans with dementia have the same specific proteins or biomarkers indicative of cognitive decline. The findings could help diagnose pet cognitive disorders. Some research already has found evidence of beta amyloid plaques and tau tangles in the brains of aging dogs and cats. An abnormal buildup of both of these naturally occurring proteins, a hallmark of human Alzheimer's disease, can disrupt nerve cell function. McGrath is also testing three drugs in dogs, cannabidiol, rapamycin, and trazodone, to see if any of them has an effect in preventing, slowing, or reversing the disease. What to do if you suspect cognitive decline in your pet? Consult your vet and make sure they rule out other medical conditions. Ask your vet about treatment, including medications, supplements, diet, or other interventions. Food and Drug Administration has approved one drug called selegiline, brand names Enipril, Eldepril, Eldenepril, Celgene, and Zelepar, which can reduce symptoms of cognitive dysfunction in dogs. Sometimes veterinarians use it off-label in cats. Ask your vet about certain foods that some experts say may support brain health. They may require vet authorization. Keep pets on a routine, as they have trouble coping with changes, Gruen said. Improve their environment. Provide ramps to avoid steps. Put down a yoga mat or area rug on a slippery floor. Some dogs may stop entering certain rooms to avoid a hardwood floor, Gruen said. It's important to find ways to maintain their activities of daily living, just as we do with humans. Enrich their environment. Teach your dogs a few new commands and reward them, Landsberg said. Give them brain enrichment toys. Put treats in a toy that rolls around so they have to find them. Keep up their social interaction, either with other pets or humans, and play with them, Landsberg said. Reduce stress. Special stress-reducing plug-in diffusers are available for both cats and dogs. Encourage exercise. Exercise during the day can help animals sleep better at night. This is a typically chronic, slowly progressive disease with lots we can do, Gruen said. There is no reason why a pet with cognitive dysfunction can't enjoy a good quality of life for some years. Can cognitive decline in pets be prevented? It's unknown if cognitive disorders in pets can be prevented. Some experts think exercise may help, as it does with humans with dementia. One recent study suggests that exercise reduces the risk in dogs, though McLean, the lead author, pointed out that it was not conducted over a lengthy time period. We can say there's a relationship, but not necessarily a cause and effect, McLean said. Regardless, exercise is good for everything, so it's safe advice that giving your dog exercise would be good on a lot of levels. After Sully was diagnosed with dementia and other medical conditions were ruled out, the vet suggested that Alan take him home and love him up. He'll know when he's had his fill of life. She did just that. 2 years later, after his symptoms worsened, Alan decided it was time to let Sully go. I felt like the essence of him was no longer there, she said. I couldn't believe he would want to live like that if he had the choice. As painful as it was, I felt giving him peace was the right thing to do. Next, we'll move on to an article in Catster.com titled, Is Your Cat Not Drinking Water? 10 Ways to Get Your Cat to Drink More Water, by Caroline Golan. Most cats don't drink enough water. Because cats are so self-sufficient, we assume that they know what's best for their health, and many times they do. But I learned the importance of getting a cat to drink more water, with a medical scare that involved a dehydrated cat. So is your cat not drinking water, or is your cat not drinking enough water? We outline what you need to know about cats drinking water, how to get your cat to drink water, and more. The cautionary tale of one dehydrated cat. A cat not drinking water could lead to serious complications. A couple of years ago, my cat Pugsley was spending a lot of time in the litter box straining to pee. Nothing was coming out. Something told me this was not good. When I picked him up around his middle and he cried out in pain, I knew he was in trouble. It was Friday night at 10, of course, and I rushed him to the emergency vet. Thank goodness I did. Pugsley's urethra was clogged with urinary stones, one of the side effects of a cat not drinking water, or a cat not drinking enough water. They are like a plug of soft, compressible material consisting of minerals, cells, and mucus-like protein. Urine backs up, and the kidneys can't remove toxins from the blood or keep fluids and electrolytes in balance. This can lead to death within 24 to 48 hours if not treated immediately. Thankfully, Pugsley was treated in time, but the vet told me the number one way to prevent him from reblocking and possibly requiring surgery was to keep him hydrated. You better believe I started looking into ways to get my cats to drink more water. But a blocked urethra isn't the only medical issue that results from a cat not drinking water. Just as with humans, cats' urinary health is tied directly to water consumption, so things like urinary tract infections and crystals are less likely in a well-hydrated cat. Digestive health also benefits from increased water intake. I've made it a priority to try everything I can to get my cats to drink more water. So avoid having a dehydrated cat by getting your cat to drink more water through these steps. 1. Switch to a mostly wet food diet. Canned food simply has more moisture. According to my vet, this is the easiest way to get your cat to drink more water and avoid a dehydrated cat. If your cat won't eat wet food, add water or broth to dry food and see if he'll eat that. If your cat digs wet canned food, add water or broth to make it even wetter. Some cats love the soupy consistency this creates. 2. Try cat ice cubes in your cat's food. It adds moisture and it's like a little treat for the cat. The cube takes on the food's flavor, and while your cat's licking the cube, he's getting more water too. Ice cube in your cat's water bowl might work, with a cat not drinking water too. Some cats prefer icy cold water, just like some humans do. 3. Serve smaller, more frequent meals. Eating prompts thirst, so a cat not drinking water might drink more water if he gets food more often. 4. Place water bowls throughout the house. Make it super easy for your cat to get himself a drink by offering multiple agua stations throughout the house. A cat not drinking water might have trouble accessing the water in question. My cat Romeo loves drinking out of my cups. Leaving a few strategically placed drinking glasses around might entice your cat to drink more water too. 5. Be aware of the water bowl's location. A cat not drinking water might not like his water bowl's location. Keep your cat's water away from his litter box. Would you want to drink near your toilet? 6. Make sure the bowls are refilled regularly. Cats like fresh water, and who can blame them? Make sure to change the water at least once a day and wash out the bowl completely with soap and water regularly to keep it from getting slimy and gross. 7. Tap into the faucet. If your cat is attracted to running water, use this as a great opportunity to get him to drink more. A cat not drinking water might just need you to turn the drinking water into a fun game. Try running the faucet a few minutes several times a day. Build it into your morning and evening routine, for example, and create some good bonding time over a long, cold drink of water. 8. Flavor the water. A cat not drinking water might drink flavored water. You can try to make your cats drink more water by flavoring it with a bit of tuna juice or chicken broth. 9. Use cat fountains. Many cats like drinking out of fountains. It might take a while for them to get the hang of it, but once they do, they'll love it. So fountains are attractive because the moving water is interesting to the cat and it stays fresh. This definitely helps if you forget to change your cat's bowl every day. 10. Experiment with different types of cat bowls. Cats are finicky about just about everything. Big shocker. You can go ahead and add drinking bowls to that list. Test out a few: glass, stainless steel, ceramic, or plastic, and you might discover your cat has a definite preference. The bottom line on what to know about a cat not drinking water. We can all stand to drink more water, and your cat is no exception. Helping your cat to drink more water has many benefits and helps you avoid the dangerous health issues of a dehydrated cat. More water equals more peeing equals healthier kitty equals happier everybody. Next, we'll move on to Dogster Magazine. We'll mix it up and start with Wags by Alan D. Herrera, Teaching Happiness to Fearful Dogs. Give me 2 minutes and I'll give you a new life. This was the title for a 2020 video about Coco, a young Spanish bulldog condemned to a government shelter in Spain. Deemed too aggressive for adoption, Coco was scheduled to be euthanized until one man arrived to offer him a second chance. In the video, which has since racked up over 1 million views on social media, dog rescuer Eduardo Puerta offers viewers a glimpse into his process for calming aggressive dog behavior. Eduardo runs the Aspruin Dog Shelter, nestled along the rugged coastline of northern Spain's city of Santander. Rescued dogs, labeled as reactive, are sent here from all over the country in hopes that Eduardo can rehabilitate them and eventually find these troubled dogs a forever home. I've been recovering dogs with serious behavior problems for over 10 years now, offering them a chance when nobody else would, Eduardo says. This is the one thing I have chosen to fight for the most. Others see hopeless cases while I see an opportunity to mend aggressive behaviors before they are sacrificed by the government shelters. Meeting Coco. Coco, a large Alano Español breed, Spanish bulldog, was only 10 months old at the time of his rescue, having spent nearly 4 months locked up in a cell without intervention. He would lunge and show his teeth in order to protect himself, Eduardo says. He was so frightened, and no one dared to approach him, thus worsening his isolation and condition, he adds. In the video, you see Eduardo enter Coco's cell and lasso a leash as the dog violently struggles to defend himself. Once we got outside the kennel, Coco began to show his true personality once he knew I was there to help him, Eduardo says. Embracing his newfound freedom, Coco was reborn on that day. Misunderstood behavior. Hearing that a dog is aggressive or reactive can strike fear in people who don't understand what's driving these behaviors. Many of these dogs have deep-rooted traumas that cause their defensive reactions. Fear and anxiety are two of the biggest components of acting defensive. Scared dogs are suddenly flooded with emotion. They feel unsafe whether there's real danger or not. Scared dogs react instinctively, guided by their primal urge to stay safe. So at the very essence of treating aggression, you need to find first out what's driving it. Give these dogs the chance they deserve, Eduardo says. Many dogs are like Coco are alive because someone took a chance and cared enough to help them, he adds. For me, this is the greatest gift that life can give me. Legal help. In January 2023, the Spanish Council of Ministers initiated a landmark national animal protection law that identifies Spain's pets as sentient beings, banning the sale of pets in shops, imprisoning animal abusers, and converting zoos to wildlife recovery centers. The hope is to encourage a shift in citizens' relationships with animals. In doing so, animal shelters will no longer be allowed to euthanize pets like Coco, regardless if they are considered aggressive. So you can follow Eduardo's rescue stories on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Aspro Santander. Aspro Santander. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. The number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. We'll be right back.